Hey, hey, welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. So glad to have you with us today. You can learn more on our website, fairmountfriends.church, or find our church app on Tithely. Let's go.
With the Maurer crew, love seeing you guys here. Coach Hendrickson is here, high school coach for the basketball team. Taylor students are back. Come on, man. Good to have you guys here as well. I know there's a lot of other people. Oh, look at that. You guys even got a clap. Yeah. So this morning, I'm going to talk about three different things, and hopefully these three random things will all come together at the end to make a point. But here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Helen Keller, Carb Manager, and Brian McKnight. Back at one. Anybody remember that song from 2000? Yeah, I see you out there. Yeah, you're all 40 and nodding your head. That was the prom song my junior year. Kurt and Whitney probably danced to that, perhaps kissed to that. Who knows what was happening back then. But three other points that are going to hopefully be the main message is vision, being equipped, and having conviction. As we move into a new year of 2024, it's a year where we're probably jotting down some New Year's resolutions, some things that I want to get better at. Usually what we write down are things like, I want to lose weight and I want to save money. Those are two of the biggest New Year's resolutions. What happens usually is the exact opposite, is I lose all my money, I gain all my weight. And that's what happens with that, you know, after about January 17th. We're committed for a couple weeks and then we just get back to, it's like, you know, this is just who I am. And we just kind of fall back into the reality of who we are and sometimes of who we're not. How many of you have all had those moments when you've felt a really big burst of vision and excitement hit your spirit? And you're like, oh man, there's something new. Maybe it's a new job. And you're like, oh man, I'm ready and I'm going into orientation or into my onboard and I'm so excited, or it's a new opportunity, or finally I got away from that old job and now I came into this new job. The only thing that is that fact that you actually brought all of yourself to that new job and that you're still there at this new place, and right? But I'm excited about something new. And sometimes behaviors follow new vision. Have you ever had a time whenever you weren't full of vision? Man, I'm just getting up again this morning and I'm not really super pumped. I'm not waking up on purpose with purpose. I'm just kind of throwing my legs over the side of the bed. And I've just got to get up because I just got a small bladder and I just got to get there. And whatever else the rest of the day has, I just don't have a ton of vision for the day. And usually with a lack of vision, our behaviors follow that as well. So this morning, I just want to talk to us a little bit about getting a compelling vision that's worthy of giving my life to. I really believe that men and women want to be gripped with something, some sort of a vision that is demanding and worthy of my life. And then I want to be equipped to be able to fulfill and to pull that thing off. And I really need some disciplined, daily, determined decisions of conviction to get up and walk that thing out. And so as you're looking into your 2024, let's go into it with eyes wide open, with hearts wide open, with walking through the doors that are wide open that God's going to present to us with a lot of energy and a lot of excitement. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. I've got three different translations here because it's great to see all the different ways they explain it. It says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. NIV there stands for the New International Version. Look at the next one. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. The NLT, this is the New Living Translation. Where there is no vision, this is the next one, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. The BSB, that's the Backstreet Boys translation. Where there is no vision, the people perish, or could we just say they just die. They just die off. Or where there is no revelation, there is nothing that kind of illuminates the eyes of my understanding and I'm kind of gripped by, They just cast off restraint. Or could I say that backwards? Where there is vision, the people will be restrained. The people will be dialed in. They will be focused. Whenever you have a vision, when you've got a mission, and it's a compelling mission that kind of grips the inner man, that provokes and stirs and moves the needle of your heart, you're like, oh, I want to get up. I want to get after it, and I want to make an impact, and I want to do this with my life, or all of a sudden I'm motivated to either make money or to save money, and so I'm going after all of this stuff, and so now I want to equip myself with reading the right books, and I want to get a financial advisor, and right, we get this energy around something, and it causes an action. I really want to lose weight, and so now here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to start equipping myself with getting a new pair of shoes, and I'm going to go running, and I'm going to get the outfit, I'm going to buy the meal shakes, I'm going to get all ready and equipped so that I can go fulfill this mission. Sometimes something crawls up on the inside of me, and with vision, I start running after it. One of the translations, I don't know if it was the NK, what was it, NKB, what was it, New Kids on the Block, or Backstreet Boys, I'm not sure which one it was, but it says, without a revelation, the people just run wild. Without vision, they're not dialed in on a mark to where they can really go hard after it. The thing about vision serves many times as like a life compass. I now know the direction that I want to go. This is the direction. It serves as a map guide. Here are the steps that you need to make. There needs to be connected behaviors if you want to fulfill that vision. So let's just talk about some connected behaviors super quick. Let's say that a vision for my life in 2024 is that I want to be the spiritual leader of my home. I'm going to do it. This is the year. I'm going to lead my wife, I'm going to lead my kids, I'm going to lead my grandkids. I'm going to embark on being the spiritual leader of my home. And then let's say, okay, man, great vision. Let's talk about the connected behaviors that will support getting that vision accomplished. Do you faithfully show up on Sunday mornings? Well, I'm not like a real big fan of church. I don't really ever read my Bible. I hate serving. Man, serving is, that's not fun. I don't give. I don't really want to give to. I hate fasting. Fasting? Are you kidding me? Whoever created that, that's a dumb idea. Prayer is kind of boring. Bible reading, I don't even know what they're talking about. Men's group, no, I'm not really cool with like sharing with a bunch of men. Praying with my family is just like a little bit like embarrassing. I'm not really there yet. And I really don't want any sort of accountability or anybody speaking into my life. But man, I'll tell you, a massive value in my life is I'm going to be the spiritual leader of my home. And I'll just tell you, it's just not going to happen. If there's not connected behaviors to get you there, it just won't happen. And so vision, without some connected behaviors to get you there, is just asinine. It's the chief of foolishness. And so we want to start making some steps that's going to get me to the place that I ultimately want to be. Let's say my vision is I want to have a body like I'm 18 again. Is that silly? Yes. Okay. And so I'm going to just get it sliced up. I'm going to look like Adam Kositz, and I'm going to be 6'4", and I'm going to have a six pack, and I'm going to have all this sort of stuff. Adam, you got a six pack? Yeah, of course. But here's my game plan. Is I really like Doritos, and I really like sleeping in, and I really love hitting that snooze button, and I don't really want to change who I am, but I do want to have all of these other kind of crazy results. The reality that I'm seeing in my own life is that if nothing changes, then nothing changes. And there's just some things that I've got to do that I've got to change in and of myself if I want to see it happen. And so vision kind of sends me into the right direction. I see it. I want to go after it. It becomes a compass. For anybody that's in like Gen Zers, you're not sure what a compass is, it's similar to like a GPS, okay? And GPS, anybody knows what GPS stands for? It's your global program system. Is that what it's called? What is it? Position. Okay. So that's what it is. It's just...
Check it out.
Oh, hey, Siri. Hey, Siri, what is GPS? Siri doesn't know. It knew it for a moment. Siri jumped in there for a moment. So it gives us a map guide that sends us in the right direction. It says this is the next street that you need to turn on. It kind of helps us get there. Helen Keller said this. She said the only thing that's worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. I just want to ask this. What is at stake if you don't accomplish that vision? What is at stake if you don't become the spiritual leader of your home? What's at stake? If you don't take your personal health seriously, what's at stake? If you don't take those intentional conversations that you need to have with your spouse, what's at stake? If you don't reach out to that prodigal son or daughter, what's at stake? If you don't follow up with that tough relationship and you need to hit the deck and go ask for forgiveness, man, what is at stake? There's some things that I need to set my eyes upon this year, and I say, I need to do these things. And they need to be big enough that moves me in such a way that if I don't dial it in on this thing, there could be some fallout. I need to get serious about this vision. Not enough just to have sight. Helen Keller would say it's a tragedy to be able to see but not have vision. I'll tell you, there's a few things that are also frustrating for me is whenever there's expectations upon my job or my life, but I really haven't been trained or equipped to do it. Anybody can agree with that? Perhaps you get hired onto a job and there just wasn't great training. There wasn't really solid onboarding. And it's like, but there's all of the expectation that you've got to fulfill and pull this thing off. And you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, man. Like, can I like get a little bit of our on-ramp? It's tough. And so we want to also be equipped. Can I just encourage so many people as we're talking about, I'm not your health guru, so we can go hire somebody else for that. But if I could be your spiritual advisor, can you please equip yourself to be able to pull this thing off? And we have equipping stations. This being one. I can't underscore this enough. Men, be in men's group. Come. And we speak as men to men about man stuff. About what's going on in your own heart. How do we lead ourselves? How do we lead our families? How do we lead in our community? How do we live and love in front of the Lord? Like, we need trained on that. We just don't come out of the womb naturally knowing how to pull this thing off. It is tough. It's hard. And every week is a new curveball. And we need a tribe of men around us to help us do it. No man is an island. And if that's your strategy to become the leader of your home and of your heart is to be an island, that is a losing strategy. You're going to be sucking wind out there. It's going to be tough. And unfortunately, the fallout is our marriages and our children. What's at stake? Women, I want to encourage you to dive into our women's groups, to our life groups. This is where you're going to get loved on and encouraged and brought to life. This is where we're going to know Jesus. We're going to learn who he is. We're going to dive into it at a whole nother level. We're going to go for it. Your personal disciplines. Man, I just want to be a person of the Word of God. I'm going to sit my butt in that chair and not get up until I know him. So I have an encounter with him. I want to be a person that can hang in the presence for a while. That I can just tarry in the presence and not get bored. Like, man, are they going to sing that song again? Oh my gosh. I'm so bored. But to where we walk in and we see him, like, I've been with this guy all week. I'm blown away. I'm moved by him because I've just been hanging with him. I have revelation of him. I really need to get in places where I can get trained and equipped to have higher level conversations. How about knowing how just to kind of spend some time in prayer or in corporate prayer, not just by yourself, but every Sunday morning before the service. We have 30 minutes of prayer where we just come together and let's just pray. Let's seek God. Let's get a hold of God. Let's go after him. and let's go for it. Perhaps there's other areas and other avenues for you as well. Maybe it's podcasts, maybe it's worship service music that you're listening to. Who knows what they are, but I would just encourage you that we've got to do a little bit of, I don't know how to do this, I need to know some equipping of how to do stuff. At some point, vision has to move from I want to where I must. There's a big difference between there's some things that I would like to pull off in my life to where I must. It's now a non-negotiable. And when you move from want to must, things can move at such a more rapid pace. And they'll probably move at any sort of a pace because I don't always do what I want to do. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I hate doing, I find myself doing all the time. This wretched man lives within me. I feel those tension points all the time pulling me back and forth. I've got to move into a higher level of not just a want, but a conviction. Man, a conviction is a deep-rooted set of beliefs that you are resolved to fulfill. It's a resolution now. I am resolved that I will become this. When vision moves into conviction, you've got yourself a dangerous man then. When vision is not just that I see it, but I am making determined, daily, disciplined decisions to become that man. And not just the things that I will do. I first need to be that man because who I am is eventually what I will do. And so we're talking about the inner life, the inner man, the inner convictions, because this morning I wanted to work out, but I didn't. Because there's a big difference between a want to and a discipline. Between I hope to, I'm just kind of wishing and hoping and thinking and praying. Between it's unemotional. It's not about wishing and hoping, it's unemotional. I will get up and do this. Your convictions are unemotional. Let me tell you this. Never consult your emotions when it comes to your convictions. Because if you're living based upon your emotions, you probably will never do it. I'm just not feeling like it, man. I'm just not feeling it. And so if we constantly live our lives based upon how we feel, you will just live a pretty stunted growth in our lives. And I don't know how many times, coach, and you've coached practices where we're clicking on all cylinders, man. Everybody showed up and we're bringing our best. And then you have these practices and it's in the middle of January and you're like, is this season ever going to end? And you're like, oh, I still got like two more months. And it comes to a point where you're like, I don't care how you feel. We're running again. And we got to do this set again. And we're going to do another rep. And we're going to do another rep. I do not care how you feel. It's a discipline at this point. It's unemotional. Phew. Everybody good? Okay, are we good? Can I share with you some of my weaknesses whenever it comes to this? You know, the thing about vision is vision has the tendency to stimulate emotions. And it stimulates motivation. And motivation's good. It causes you to want to do something. But motivation lasts for just a moment if it's not a conviction. Motivation can kind of feel emotional sometimes, but a conviction is very unemotional. Conviction overrides your emotions, and it commits you to do something whether you like it or not. As it comes to convictions, there's one area that I would really want to nail down at high levels of consistency, and it's been tough. And it's fitness. It's my own fitness, taking care of my physical health. We can be equipped with a fitness plan. I can see it. It's mapped out. It's right here on a piece of paper. Diet plans. I can have all the diet apps. I can download all the apps. I've got Carb Manager. I've got Strava. It tracks how far I ride my bike. It tracks how many calories I lost on that walk or that run. Fitbit. Does anybody ever, you get limited by Fitbit? You're like, oh, I don't have my watch on, so I can't really walk extra today. So it's not tracking. Jane, you do that too? That's me. Oh, I don't have my Fitbit on, so I probably shouldn't because it's not going to count. Like my heart won't know that I'm actually losing weight right now because my Fitbit's not on, and so it didn't track my 10,000 steps. Or my health. I downloaded the health app now. It tracks my sleeping, and I don't really sleep well, and I didn't need it to tell me that. Now it's just more condemning. And I'll plug in all of my carbs, and I'll plug in all my stuff, and it's like, you know, like I have all the tools and all the resources. Something else that's just wild. I mean, look at this. Like, I'll think, but if I get a new shirt, then I'm feeling, okay, now, and you know what? Not only that, but it has that logo on it, and now I'm an athlete. I'm ready to go. I'm ready, man. And not only that, but I got a pair of shorts that also have that logo, and I'm ready. You know, there's nothing like having a brand new pair of shoes that just make you want to wear them and start working out. So I'm gonna go get a new pair of running shoes. Now I'll want to work out. Does anybody else, or are any husbands nudging your wives? You're like, oh, Lee, oh, you buy all this stuff, and then you never work out. But sometimes it's cold, so I need to have leggings on underneath my shorts so I can stay warm during this. But I'm going to get really serious. So now I'm going to have my protein superfoods. I'm going to get some sort of a protein whey, bolic, something. This was sitting there. I was like, yeah, let's try that. It's still like barely even unopened. That's in there. We've got this guy and this guy. We've got essential amino complete. This is beet powder. It tastes terrible, but it gives you energy. One a day for men. Yeah, they said this was good. I'll do that. It's the same bottle that I had from last year. Basic creatine. This is the Ultra Replenish Metagenics. This is a keto BHB. That should probably get me all sliced up. What do we got here? Quick dissolving pods. I don't know, but if I buy all this stuff, and I get completely equipped with all the resources I need, now I'm going to turn into the Rock. And I don't have to get up and put the time in. I just take a pill. And now I'm good. Does anybody just hope that you can just take a pill and just like 50 pounds would just like disappear off of your life? Like, I've got the vision and I've got all the tools around me. I'll tell you, it's not just my body, but I really want to focus on the life of my mind. I want my mind to be trained and equipped. These are just the books that I got at Christmas. How asinine is that? What are the chances that I'm going to read like thick stack heavy books like all within this next week? There's actually a Japanese word for guys like me that buy books and they never read them. It's called tsundoku. Okay, do you see this? Sundoku. This is a Japanese word dating back to 1879. Tsun means to pile up, and doku means reading. To pile up reading that you never read, okay? So I've got all of these books, and you ought to see my office. I mean, it's pretty impressive to see how many books I have in there. But it's like embarrassing. Like my son, he came in the other day, he goes, Dad, have you read all of these books? And I'm like, I've read a lot of them. But not all of them, but there's nothing like getting a brand new book that makes you want to read it. And then as I'm opening that new book, I'm like, man, what a great introduction. All right, I need to get back to life. And I got other stuff to do, and I got to get going. And then there's times like, okay, I'm going to take on new disciplines. And so I am going to be a person who journals. And so I'm going to have a journal. And I'm going to write in this journal, and I'm going to get approximately 12 pages in. And then it's going to look like this. But you know what? What I really need right now is I really need a journal. And so I'm going to get a new journal, and it's going to look like this. And I'm going to plan every day of my life, and my daily planner is going to look like that. And you know what? I'm going to go to a bookstore. I'm going to get really inspired. Okay, this is it. This is the year. You know what I really need? I need a journal, and it's going to look like this. Oh, it's going to be so good. I'm going to love it. I just need one more fitness app, and I just need to buy a new pair of shoes. I just need something else. No, what I really need is a journal. Let's get another one. If I just had a journal. And then here's something else that I do. Oh, actually, this one still has the wrapper on it. What I really needed in the moment is I needed a journal. But you know what? Now, if I have matching highlighters, now highlighters get me fired up, okay? Because yellow means it's a new day, and it's hopeful, and it's exciting. And then pink is the stuff that it's like, I gotta get to. I gotta like highlight, I gotta get after this. This has to happen. Orange, I have no idea what an orange highlighter is ever for. Nobody uses an orange highlighter. And then I'm like, but those really aren't enough. I need more. And if I just had more, and then usually what I do is black goes and it marks out all the stuff because I'm like, well, that was stupid. I didn't do any of that stuff anyway. And so it's like, oh, what is going on? And there's these things that I want to do that I don't do. And the things that I hate doing, I find myself continuing to do. Just the laziness and the apathy and the lethargy and the casual, usual, normal, nominal, boring approach to life that I hope, wishing and hoping one day, if my emotions will ever feel good enough, then I'll do something. But they're just not comfortable. And I really kind of only want to do this thing if it brings me more comfort. And I'll tell you, I will die being comfortable. And it's just kind of this slow waltz to the grave. Knowing that there's so much more in life. There's so much more that God has for me. And I don't want to just have a vision. I don't even want to be equipped with all the tools. I want to have a conviction that says, guys, even this one. It's like, I have a Bible. But you know what I really need? I just need to get a new Bible. And if I got a new Bible, I would sit down and read it. Okay, now I got a new Bible. No, you don't. You need to get a 100-year-old Bible that's torn up. Just sit your butt in the chair and don't get up. And it's not always fun. And men, I want to challenge you, get a hold of the presence of God and sit there until you know him, until you have an encounter with him, until your eyes are burning because you've locked eyes with that fiery man. And you walk out of the presence different and changed. Get up early. Stay up late. Whatever it is, buffet your body. Make it your slave. Tell it what you're going to do. Do not let your emotions control you. You control your emotions. You be in charge. You have self-governance over you. Y'all with me? And then you can lead your family like a man who's on fire. In Joshua chapter 23 and verse 1, this is Joshua. This is a man who had a vision of taking over the promised land when everybody else was freaking out. He sees it and he goes, it looks good. It looks awesome. We ought to go. We ought to take the land. And now here he is after they had taken the land, and he's sitting on the back end of life. Verse 1, he says, after a long time had passed, the Lord had given Israel rest from all of their enemies around them. And Joshua, by then, he was very old, summoned all of Israel, their leaders, judges, officials, and he said to them, I am old. Don't you love that? I'm very old. You yourselves have seen everything that the Lord your God has done to these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Now listen to this guy. He's old. He's done it. He's a hero of the faith. And he's still got this edge of conviction on his spirit. It's like talking to an old coach who's never lost it. It's like Lou Holtz. He's never lost it. He slurs his words, but man, he's got fire. Verse 3, you yourselves, verse 4, remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations that I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself, he will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of the land as the Lord your God promises you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law. This is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 also. He's just repeating who he was as a young buck in chapter 1, verse 8, is now who he still is in Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 1, 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, for then you will have good success. Then you will have the favor and prosperity upon the Lord, of the Lord upon your life. And so here he is even later, be strong and courageous, be careful, obey all of the word of the Lord. Without turning aside to the right or to the left, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have even until now. But if you turn away and you ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations, and what are you allied with, okay? They're talking about literally other enemies that are going to wipe out their country. But perhaps you have a higher allegiance to your laziness than you do to your discipline. I'm going to partner with my weaker self than I will partner with my best self. What have you allied yourself with? And Joshua's like, yo, we can't do this. We can't play. We can't do it. There's some stuff that's at stake right now. There's some things that are hanging in the balance. And he's talking about partnering with nations that don't belong to the Lord. But he says, if you turn away and you ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, if you intermarry with them and you associate with them, and then you may be sure that the Lord your God, he will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you. You'll get easily entangled with whatever you start entertaining in your life. Whips on your back and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, I am about to go the way of all of the earth means I'm about to die. I'm going back into the ground. And you know with all of your heart and soul that not one of the good promises of the Lord your God that he has given you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down before them, the Lord's anger will burn against you. You will quickly perish from the land that the Lord has given you. This is Joshua at the end of his life, still with dynamic conviction. A man resolved with iron in his spirit. He goes, I do not negotiate with the enemy. What's the areas that we've negotiated with sin? We're like, a little bit of sin's okay. A little bit of spiritual lethargy's okay. A little bit of just kind of I'll show up whenever I feel like it. That's okay. And just a normal, nominal approach to knowing God and to leading your family in such a way. Come on, there's some things that are at stake. And Joshua, in his old age, he's like, man, I'm dialed in. No snooze bar. There's no snooze button on pursuing Jesus. I got to get up and I got to go. Here's the problem for man is his vision many times is in opposition with his conviction. I have a vision that is in direct opposition with my conviction. That's such a bummer. And my conviction does not help me fulfill my vision because it's a broken conviction, meaning my mouth doesn't match my actions. I can talk about it, but I don't always live to be about it. Say one thing and we do another. You talk about making that move. You talk about making that career move, but you don't. We're still here. It's the same conversation we had last year that we had last year that we had last year. Man, I feel like God's calling me. Come on, then let's take some steps of faith. Let's go. Either he said it or he didn't. Let's be convicted. Let's have some conviction. Let's start walking this thing out. Let's map our way to the vision. Perhaps you're even sitting here this morning. You're like, Brock, I get it. I'm with you. I bought the shoes and the protein shake, and it's all the bottles are filled, and the shoes are white and clean. And I'm so tired. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I want to, but I'm wiped out. I got 100 other things going on. I'm raising kids. I don't have a great community of people supporting me. I agree. I need a higher conviction. What do I do? I think this. I think, number one, we've got to meet with Jesus. I got to meet him. I got to see the one that laid his life down for a massive vision. I got to see the one that was pretty fired up about my life, and I got to match and meet and partner my mindset, my emotions, my convictions there, and get fired up to show up for my own life and for my own calling and for my own family and for my own disciplined daily decisions of leading and knowing him and engaging in him. I got to meet with him. After I meet with him, I think the next step is I need to surround myself with a tribe. I can't do this thing alone. I need accountability. I need a group. I need some men. I need some women to get around me. Because I can be all fired up for a moment, but those motivational moments, that's it. They're just moments. It's not a lifestyle because I need a group of people around me. Number three is it comes down to my convictions. I've got to make daily, disciplined, determined decisions. And can I encourage you with this? Even pre-decide. Pre-decide, because tomorrow morning you won't want to get up. Decide the night before. I'm getting up and I'm setting my alarm clock. Decide before you go to the restaurant what you're going to order on that menu. Because once you walk in and it smells real good, you're like, oh, shoot, yeah, I think I do want the cake. I got to pre-decide. I got to pre-decide when I'm walking into this conversation, I'm going to be a man of peace and joy and not move into frustration. I got to pre-decide. I can't live based upon how I'm feeling in that moment. I'm disciplined. I'm determined. And after I've met with Jesus, and after I've got a group of people around me, and after I'm making these daily disciplined decisions, and I start losing the motivation, can I just encourage you with this? I got to go back to one. Got to go back to one and have Jesus have an encounter with me again. Jesus, help me again. Get that tribe of people around me. I got to get back into these discipleship groups. I got to get back into these places. I got to have a group of people around me, and I got to make decisions again. And I got to meet with Jesus, and I got to go back with these group of people. And I got to make decisions, and I got to meet with Jesus. I don't want to oversimplify this thing, but let's not overly complicate it either. Let's go for the vision of God. Let's get equipped and let's live with massive conviction to be everything that he's called us to be. I want to lay a hold of Christ for which all of Christ that he's laid a hold of me in my life. So church family, I want to pray for you. Perhaps you've got some visions that you're like, man, here we are, same thing next year. It's the same thing that's happened the last 5 years. This is the year that's going to break through. This is the year that God's going to flex his muscles in your life. This is the year he's going to power us through. We're going to see some really good, awesome stuff. Okay, here we go. We ready? Let's get our faith there. Let's get our hope there, and let's lock in on Jesus. Jesus, right now we're asking that you would encounter our church family, those that are just tired and they've tried and tried and tried. Jesus, we're asking right now that you would begin to move some stuff, that you would heal some broken thinking, some old wounds that just keep us locked in and just plateaued out. Jesus, we pray that the power of God would bust us free, that we would get the lethargy off of our lives, the lethargy off, that the apathy off, the indifference off, that we would be burning and gripped with what is at stake if we play small, that we would be gripped with something knowing that you've called us, that you've equipped us, that there's a massive vision out there for us. God, we pray that you'd put deep-rooted conviction down inside of your bride on how we're going to walk this thing out, how we're going to turn from sin, how we're going to pursue holiness and righteousness. God, we ask you that we would be a tribe and a family that would inspire and encourage each other. God, we pray for rich relationships here to encourage one another to become the best in everything that you've called us to be. By the power of the Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' mighty name, all the church said, amen, amen.
Grateful you were with us today. Be sure to subscribe and rate us so other people can know about the podcast. Join us on a Sunday morning in Fairmount or find our live stream on YouTube, our website, fairmountfriends.church, or our church app on Tithely. See you soon.